Well, is it as unusual to see me as it is for me to see you? That's certainly how I feel. I got an email, I think it was Friday, from somebody in a church that I had been in, and they were asking me all kinds of questions about traveling and evangelism, et cetera. And he said, "Where are you?" But I couldn't answer the email right then. So when I got home last night, I was in Michigan yesterday morning. I got home and I said, "Well, when you sent this to me, I was in Michigan, but I'm sort of at home now." I say sort of because I think last night was the first time that I woke up in the middle of the night in my own bed and felt and didn't know where I was. That happens, but I don't think I've ever had that happen in my own bed. In fact, last night was also the first time that I was laying there and I thought, this does not feel normal. Like the bed itself, it felt like, I'm like, this is my mattress, but it just doesn't feel normal. And it's a good place to be, I guess, but unusual. I feel like I've been everywhere. I really do. And I almost have this whole year from San Diego with Uncle Phil over there. It's good to see you guys. Yeah, he's acting like he doesn't know who I am, but we have a lot of stories. We have a lot of stories. I told Brother Christensen that I didn't say I wasn't going to mention him, but I was going to try to avoid making fun of him today or teasing him. It's hard on him, and he has the last word because he's speaking on Wednesday. I say that, still come back on Wednesday, still come back, but the good news is, with Uncle Phil here, that's who I tease when I'm preaching in their church, so I have an outlet, and he has an excuse if he doesn't come back. He does. He's like, I don't live here, but I think he'll come back because he doesn't come here for me. He comes here for grandkids. We know how that is. So I'm apologizing that I brought you bad weather. I went to Michigan, and they had warm weather, and the whole week I was there, it was low 50s and rainy. And then I was looking at the weather, and I thought this week was going to be good here in North Carolina. And I get here, and guess what? It's low 50s, or if that, and rainy. So I apologize. I don't think it's my fault. I did not drag it down here. Trust me, I would have, as fast as I drove, I don't think it could follow me. So anyway, it is good to be back here with you. It is fun to be in other churches, but there is no church like your home church. It's very true. And everywhere I go, though, people are the same. Same issues, same difficulties. It's sad, though, to hear. I mean, it's sad when you're listening to prayer requests on a Wednesday night about the things that people are going through, the difficulties that they have, you know, family issues, health issues, financial issues, unmet expectations, those kind of things that we all go through, right? I heard Billy Graham said, preach to hurting people and you'll always have an audience. And that is a truth that I have tried to keep with me. And the truth is that it's also all throughout Scripture. I don't think you could pick up a book of the Bible and not find something in there to help you in whatever issue that you're in. God knows that that's the way it is, and He is the kind of God that meets us where we are. And it's said in Hebrews that He has been tempted in all points like as we are. And so therefore, we can go to our high priest knowing that He can feel our infirmities. What a blessing that is. And tells us to come to Him in boldness, literally meaning ramble. Come to me and just open your mouth and speak. And sometimes we feel like, oh, I need to have a packaged prayer. God does not want that. He wants you. He wants your heart. And so He wants you to express those things. Read the Psalms and read how they poured out their heart before God, told Him how they felt. God does not mean for us to bottle up our emotions or to live in our emotions, but to give them to God with that caveat of, okay, God, here's how I feel, but here's how You are. Here's the truth about You. And so we're going to go to a passage today, Job 23, that deals with difficulties. Obviously, the book of Job gives us wisdom. It is a wisdom book, but gives us wisdom about difficulties. Be smarter than the technology. All right. Job 23, probably my favorite chapter in the book of Job. And Job expresses himself, and I believe tells us where he finds his strength. Of course, we know that Job had almost immeasurable wealth, lands, cattle, camels, 10 children, and all in one day lost it all. And anyone that has children would tell you, and even those that do not, would say, I would sacrifice everything I have for my family, for my children. So I don't think that those things mattered much, and I don't think it's for us to compare either with Job. I think Job is given to us as an example of someone who, he lost everything. That's enough. And not to compare, but if Job can get through, if Job can continue his relationship with God, if Job can hear from God and be restored, then so can I. And so how did he do that? How did he have the strength to get through all of that? Job 23, verse 1, and Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. And he's saying this thing, if I could go find God right now and talk to him, I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would say, Lord, this is where I am and I don't understand. And I thought living like this was not going to have these problems in my life. And I don't understand that there is problems in my life. So many questions. And he's saying, if I were to go to God, he would not berate me, but he would strengthen me with his answers. I would know, and then I could go away with peace. I could go away, but now I'm in this place of confusion. And so what does he say? Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. You know, some of those last few verses have troubled me for a long time, but sometimes God needs to show us the darkness for us to see things in a new light. But as he talks and expresses, okay, I can't find God right now. I'm looking for him and I'm going places to find him and I can't. So I can't really fill my mouth with arguments. But yet here is where I am finding strength. And the first I want to notice is in verse 11, he says, my foot hath held him, has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. This poetry that he's speaking, his steps and his way. That's what he's talking about God. His steps and his way. I have kept, I have held. I'm not departing from them. And he's talking, he says, my foot. Job found strength in his feet. Your feet are in the right place today. Sometimes when we have trouble, we run from God. That is not, we blame God. It's God that's in my life. Or we want to keep our feet maybe in one place where it's comfortable. But we need to keep our feet in the right places. We need to head in the right. Our feet tell us what direction that we're going. And I think it's interesting. My foot hath held his steps. You can lay that out as God has steps laid for me, but I almost see in my mind, I walked through the grass this week and it was wet. And I came back the same way that I came and I'd see my footsteps in there. And that's what I saw when I saw this. That God has, it's as if he's walked the path before me. And he's laid these steps out. And I'm making sure that my feet are in those right places. Footwork is important in sports. It's very important. I've seen, watch professional golf. On Sunday afternoons, it's a great way to go to sleep. And I've watched that. And one particular player was very good with his iron shots. And they said, watch his feet. He has quiet feet. He does not move his feet until the ball is contacted by the club. Footwork is important. It's not just about your hands. It's not just about your shoulders. It's about your feet. They say, Hall of Famers that used to play against Michael Jordan say, the difference between him and anybody else was his feet were always in the right places, whether it was defense or offense. And I've seen great players, Hall of Fame players, people in the conversation of, is this possibly one of the greatest of all time? And I've seen them in practices as an older player working on their footwork because it's so important that your feet are in the right position. Is our direction the same? Don't let difficulty cause you to be redirected. It's never a good time to change course when it's just because it's difficult. Often the right path is the most difficult path. If Jesus had changed course because things were difficult, we would not be sitting here today. But his feet held those steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And I think that he is the human being. He delights in the way of God. Obviously, God delights in the way of the way that he's laid out for man, yes. But you will delight in the way that God has laid for you. And I think about the song that was just saying. I thought, man, this dovetails very well. That we have to say, Lord, even in the difficult, what come what may, you can have all of me. I'm going to stay on the path that I've been on. And a lot of times, again, difficulty will maybe try to, maybe I'm not going in the right path. And so we look for an easier path. And the easier path is not always the right path. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I wish I'd have learned this verse as a younger person, but Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That cuts against the grain of our society. It cuts against the grain of our flesh. No, it's my life. I get to choose. No, we need to be saying, Lord, this is my life. You're the one that designed it. You're the one that gave it to me. You're the one that placed me in the family that you placed me in. You're the one that placed me in the location, the country that you placed me in. You're the one that gave me the gifts, talents, and desires, and feelings that you've given me. Only you know the best way to use this life. And so I'm going to keep my feet right there. My foot hath held his steps. It means to guard or to watch. That there are steps that God has for me. Simple things that we know in Scripture. We don't have to get complicated with that. Simple things that we know. Steps that we should take every day. And I'm being careful that my feet are in those places. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, to grasp or to take possession. These are my steps. Almost as if you're taking your toes and you're curling them into the soft earth and saying, I'm gripping the earth with my feet because this way is important. We could say cleats, but I had a better picture in my mind of toes gripping. He says, I've not declined. I've not turned aside. I've not turned aside. I'm not taking a break. I'm not getting off the path. I am tempted to see an easier path, and maybe that's the way I should go, but this is the direction that I've been headed in, and I'm not going to quit. So he finds strength in his feet. But then verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He found strength in his food. And he's saying, more than my necessary food, my daily food, what I need for the day, this is what I am valuing. Or it could mean I'm delighting in, I'm taking pleasure in the words of God more than food. Boy, I like food. Don't you? Like there's something that you're like, I really like this. Favorite foods? Boy, there's a whole list of those that I could name. I mean, people often ask me, what do you like to eat? And I'm like, man, there's a lot that I like to eat. And there are some things that are in my top three. But then there's categories, you know, there's dessert. I have categories of dessert, you know, I do. And maybe you do. There's ice cream, right? There's cake, there's pie, there's cookies. Hey, we're going to have, what is that? That pie and praise. We are more focused on the pie than we are the praise. Let's be honest. And where maybe the praise is determined by what pie is brought. That could be the case. There's always a couple that I'm looking for. Yeah. pecan, I like that. It's good stuff. The more, the merrier. And when there's more pecan pie, I don't feel so bad about taking it. That's just the truth. But food. There was a guy in college so when I was an RA, it was the RA's job to bring food to the person that was sick. And often, the sick person wasn't sick, right? They just didn't want to go to class, and they wanted to sleep. And inevitably, it was on a day that was rainy, you know, and cold. They didn't want to get out of bed and walk in the grass or whatever. I don't know. And so, yeah, I'm sorry, but it wasn't really a punishment. But, like, you call and say, well, this is what we're having to eat. What do you want? Look, I'm not doing that. I'm not your mom. You're sick. You need to eat what you should eat. You're going to get water. You're not going to get a soft drink. You're not going to get sweet tea. You're going to get water. And you're not getting dessert. You're not doing that. I'm just going to bring you the food that they have, and that's what you're going to eat. Because sick people probably don't care, right? They're going to nibble at it anyway. And healthy people, I'm not rewarding you. This is not Uber. You're not even tipping me, okay? So you don't get what you want. But there was one guy, and you know, sometimes when you've got a fever, there's probably other stomach issues going on, and a lot of times you don't like to eat. But this one guy, you know the phrase, starve a fever, feed a cold? It usually works pretty easily, because when I've got a cold, I'm hungry, and when I have a fever, I'm not. But this guy, he would flip that on purpose, because he's like, that's my remedy for everything. Mrs. Swearingen does this with ice cream, right? When you're sick, you eat ice cream. Is that the way it works? Does it work for you? Absolutely, it works for her. Try it. Don't take my medical advice. Don't take her medical advice. But, and he went on a spring break, which is supposed to be a week, but you can stretch it into 10 days. You leave at the right time on Friday and get back at the right time on Sunday night, early Monday morning, whatever it is. It's about 10, I think. And so he came back, and I said, man, did you gain weight? You know, when you're in your 20s, you can ask that question. I said, did you gain weight? And he's like, why? Can you tell? And I said, just answer my question. He said, yeah. He's like, man, my girlfriend's mom can cook. He gained 10 pounds over spring break. That is almost impressive. Almost impressive. But Job says, okay, necessary food. I delight in food. Who doesn't, right? We like food. We need food. But he is saying more important than my food when I'm in a difficulty is the Word of God. And this is not a difficulty of, okay, I know the answer is a medical issue and that's what I need to do. No. This is, he does not know the answers. He's looking for answers. He would love to appear before God and ask God questions, but he says, I can't do that. So what I do is I focus on the Word of God. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again, we have this picture. Yet it is necessary to us. We heard about fasting this morning. One of the things that I've heard about fasting is when God does something in someone's life scripturally, they will solidify it in their life by fasting. They're saying, God is doing something spiritual in my life, and my life is not just physical. It's spiritual and physical. And so I'm going to marry the two together. And as I've thought about that, I thought, yeah, there are some times that maybe going and eating lunch after chapel when I was in college wasn't the best thing. Maybe the best thing would have been I need to spend some time with God because he is doing work in my heart. And there's been other times in my life where I'm like, okay, I don't understand everything. God is doing something. I need to spend time with him and say no to me because the spiritual in my life is more important than the physical. Job is saying this. I valued it more. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. When I was a kid, I used to think about that, and I think of a guy with a sword and a guy who was strong, powerful, right, and quick. He was quick with that sword. He's both. And, you know, how maybe you didn't want to mess with that guy because he was quick with a sword and powerful with a sword. And I was totally missing the picture. The word quick is the word in Greek that means life. It's life. The Word of God is life to us. Being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. It gives life. We see these words, and not just for the unbeliever trusting in his word, but for the believer. It is what gives us life to go out and say, yes, I can face this issue because what God's word tells me. And that the next word, quick and powerful, there's many words in Scripture that are powerful, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the word that means authority. Romans 1:16, that the gospel is the power of God. That's the word for ability. This is neither. This is the word that's literally, it's transliterated into English. It's energeo, it's energy. The word of God is life and energy to the believer. It is sustaining for us. It is what we need if we're going to live the life that God wants for us. And that's what he's saying. He's like, God, to get energy, to get through my days, to get through my time, to get through these answers, the questions that I have, it has to be the word of God. This is also places where we need to plant our feet, squarely in truth. That's why he transitioned from verse 11 straight into verse 12, that I have not declined. Where do I find these steps? Where do I find this path? In the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Those are the steps. And a light unto my path. And he's saying, my feet is planted in his truth. And I'm not going to depart from that, no matter how difficult my situation is. And then verse 13. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. This is his faith. Job found strength in his faith. He said, look, God has a plan for me. There's something that he has appointed for me in this. There are many such things with him. This is what he is doing. He is single-minded. You're not going to change God's mind about what he's doing in your life. And so he says, I'm just trusting God. God's not, this didn't occur to God. This isn't surprising. This isn't God trying to figure out what's happening and how to fix it. No, God is all the way through this. I think of the psalmist in Psalm 139 that says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. What a thought. I mean, pick up a handful of sand and just think about counting it, because you're not gonna do that. With one handful, and there's sand all over the world. And God says his precious thoughts to us are more than number than that. God is thinking of us. He's not thinking ill of us. He's not trying to hurt us. He's not trying to do something negative in your life. In fact, what he's trying to do is helpful. I once read a story about a billionaire. He was in his lower 30s. He's a self-made billionaire. And he felt like his life was getting stale. You know, sometimes those people are very creative, and so anything that's one thing, they just got to change it. And so he said, I don't know what I need to do. And so he hired a former Navy SEAL, and he said, look, I'm hiring you because I need change in my life. Something has to be different. And so the guy said, that's fine. And he pulls out a wooden chair, and he says, this is where you're sleeping tonight, in the wooden chair. He's like, what are you talking about? He said, well, people who are comfortable don't change. Boy, isn't that the truth. This afternoon, I'm going to get in a comfortable place, and I'm not going to move until I'm uncomfortable. And it might be just a little bit of a movement, right? It might just be a little bit. But I'm going to be there. And maybe it's because I'm thirsty and I can't get a child to go get me something to drink, or, you know, whatever that is, right? You're going to get into a comfortable place and you're going to be there until you're uncomfortable. Even when you wake up in the morning, right? You're comfortable. But there's a point where you're like, man, if I don't get up, I'm going to be really uncomfortable at work, or trying to get to work, or uncomfortable getting ready for work, whatever it is. We are where we are until we're comfortable. And we're gonna keep on the same line. They say it's good for people, if you're a coach of a team of young people that are unathletic, make them run. Because your body does not like discomfort. And so your body will teach you how to run the most efficiently as possible, because it is looking for the easy path. And so the more you run, the better you're going to be at it. You got to get uncomfortable. You got to get uncomfortable to change. And so sometimes God makes our lives uncomfortable, and he hits us where it hurts, because he knows that we'll be willing to change. We're trying to get out of the situation, and sometimes it puts the focus on something in our life that our focus hasn't been on, because God's got appointments for us. God has plans for us. He wants more for me than where my life is. Hudson Taylor said that faith is your grip on God. And in some ways, I like that. It's your grip on God. You know, I think about the shield of faith. And it's really not the size of the shield, because if it gets too big, then it's unwieldy. We can't really use that thing. It has to be of the right size. But when you have that shield of faith, it's not how tight you grip it, is it? You know, I'm better at using this shield because I squeeze it so hard. That's not helpful. It's how long you can hold that shield up. And through the difficulties of, isn't that what faithfulness is? Is sustained faith? Well, the only way I'm going to have sustained faith is through the Word of God. That I make that my food. That if I make that, this is where I plant my feet. And he's saying, this is where my faith is, in God. And I'm holding on to him through these storms because he is the only anchor for the soul. He is the only thing. Sometimes as I travel, I learned this early. I was traveling a lot of Christian schools, sometimes every day in a different Christian school. And every day sometimes was in a different place at night, and I didn't even know many nights where I was going to stay. I certainly didn't know where I was going to eat, made lots of bad choices. But in those times, I hated my car. I bought a car because it was good on gas mileage, and it was the most uncomfortable car I ever had. And within like a month of buying it, I was looking to sell it. And it just, like, I couldn't get a comfortable position in it. And driving as much as I did, I'm like, my back was hurting all the time. But I couldn't wait to get in my car, because my car was the only consistent thing I had in my life. Because everybody in my life, when I was traveling, was changing by the hour sometimes. There was no consistent meals, there was no consistent place to stay, there was no consistent conversations unless I called on the phone. That car was my anchor. And I realized, boy, this is not my only anchor. My relationship with God is my anchor, because I can take him everywhere. I don't need the car. I don't need these other things. What I need is God. And sometimes it feels like the world is spinning around you. And it's totally out of control. I don't know what to grip onto. You grip onto the anchor that is Jesus Christ. Because he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the goodness that he was once in your life is now currently in your life. And Job is saying, I'm trusting in who he is. That's my faith. And then lastly, I want you to notice verse 8. He says, behold, I go forward, and he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. I don't know where God is. It's like I'm in a dark room, and I'm feeling around for him, and he's not in the front, he's not in the side. I know he's here. I just can't find him. But that's okay, because he knows the way that I take. It really doesn't matter if I know where God is. God knows where I am. And when I come forth, when I come out of this, I'll come forth as gold. That's the end product. It's a good product. This is what God is doing in my life. He's making me better than I am. He is refining me. And he doesn't say all of that here, but you can look into this and say, yeah, he's refining me as gold. That I was as a diamond in the dirt. I was as just gold ore in the soil, and he has pulled me out, and he's cleaning me up. And yes, he's putting heat to me. And with that heat, I'm being refined. And we know the process of skimming out the impurities when they rise to the surface because of the density and the weight of the gold. But they say that the old timers, the old school guys who would smelt the gold to remove those impurities, they would say that they knew that the gold was where they wanted it when they could look at the surface of that gold and see their reflection. And I think, wow, God knew that. That's what God is doing. He wants to see his reflection in us. And the truth is, that's only the place of joy. That's the only place. He is the source of true joy. He is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all peace. There is no peace without him. There is no joy without him. There is none of that. He is love. He is the source of love. You're not going to have the things that you're looking for most in your life without him. You're not going to. And it's going to take his work in your life for that to come forth. And that's not going to be easy. God calls us through a path of difficulty, but he will be with us along the way. He will use us along the way. He will change us along the way. But we have to keep ourselves in that way through his word and through faith. We can know that we will have the future much like Job did. Now, everybody has difficulties in their life, some small, some big. Some known, some unknown. But your path forward is the same as Job's path. Will you take that path? With your heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe somebody is here today and you'd say, I've been searching for purpose. I've been searching for peace. I've been searching for joy. And you've never come to Christ to find that. But maybe you feel his call today. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's where salvation is. That's where deliverance from your sin is. Maybe you'd say, preacher, that's me, and I need to come to Christ today. I don't want to embarrass you, but maybe you'd just say by the raising of your hand, I need to come to Christ today. I need to receive his forgiveness because I want what he, what God has to offer. If that's you anywhere in the room, just raise your hand so I can see it. I know that I need to come to Christ today, anywhere in the room. Okay. As a Christian, maybe you're going through some things. And maybe you've been tempted to deviate from the path. Maybe you have gotten away from his word. Maybe you have gotten away from putting your feet in the right places and trusting him through these times. That's what we all face because we're all human beings. We face an inherent, sometimes, distrust and trust that our way is the best way, but it is not. Will you be like Job and say that by faith I will follow? I will stay on the path. Although I cannot see God right now, I will follow him. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet as the hymn of invitation begins to play? God has spoken to your heart. Would you just follow him? Most of us know the words. I'm not asking you to sing them, I'm asking you to think them.